It's time for Mac Break Weekly. The new operating systems are here, 10.2 on iOS, 10.12.2 on Sierra, and a little controversy arising over the battery icon. We'll talk about it next on Mac Break Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Mac Break Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Mac Break Weekly, episode 537, recorded Tuesday, December 13th, 2016. Pickle or eggplant? Mac Break Weekly is brought to you by the Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your home. Go to ring.com/MacBreak and get up to $150 off a Ring of Security kit with their limited time offer. And by Tracker, a coin-sized tracking device that pairs with your smartphone and keeps you from losing your most valued possessions. Visit thetracker.com right now and enter the promo code MacBreak to receive a free Tracker Bravo with any purchase. And by Audible. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audible.com/MacBreak. It's time for Mac Break Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from Apple. Joining me right now, Renee Ritchie from iMore.com in beautiful downtown Montreal. Actually, he's out
so
by
much
the...
snow, Leo.
You're out by the... What is it? The Boisson? No, that's
the
a Boitali, drink.
Yeah, the Bois-Franc, Boitali, yes. It's beautiful. I went out there today, and it was covered in snow. There were cross-country skiers and snowshoers, and I was trying to hike through it. And only at the end did I realize that outdoor walk on your Apple Watch only gives you half credit for snow.
What? You should get
you
double
need to
credit.
Use other. You need to use other because it switches the anaerobic-aerobic balance, and I didn't realize that.
Well, you know, live Sadness. And learn. I happen to have the Snow White Apple Watch. It probably would have worked fine.
See, I accidentally dropped an ear pod in the snow, Leo. I was taking a photo. It's Snow White, like your watch. And I was taking a photo to do an article about what to do if you lose your earpods, your AirPods in the snow. And then I actually lost one. And it fell into not just a little bit of snow, but a mountain of snow. So I was forced to retest my theory. I was listening to Security Now as I was walking. So I just pressed play again, which forces them to turn back on even when they come out of your ear, cranked up the volume. And then I heard you and Steve talking in the snow. And I just clawed with my frozen hands until
I
found you.
Oh, my God.
It worked.
If Luke Skywalker had only known that, he probably wouldn't have had to sleep in a Tauntaun. No, that doesn't make any sense. Andy Yannacco, also here from the Chicago Sun-Times.
Yeah, that's cost of going wireless. You know, I have my wired headphones. I drop them down a sewer into open pit of raw sewage. I
can
just, you know, like a safety line, you know?
Renee's wearing his AirPods just to demonstrate.
It's an honor. It's an honor of them finally.
I ordered them. I don't get them for a month.
Oh, mine come on the 21st.
What?
I ordered right away.
So it's because I didn't order right away.
Yeah, they went out to like 4 weeks later. They're going to be in stores next week, though, so you can run over and get a pair.
All right, good.
Yeah.
I'll have Megan get a pair.
Yeah, they'll be available at Apple retail, at resellers, and at select carrier outlets.
I'm just, I'm so excited. Just can't hide it. So if you got on right away, you would see when? When are you going to get them? Soon.
The 21st.
In time for Christmas.
Yeah, wait, just barely.
When do you celebrate Christmas in Canada?
It's a month early because we're... No, it's the same day. It's the same day. Okay. Canadian Christmas in November is great.
Nice. $159. I guess they've solved the manufacturing at scale issue.
Sort of. The X ones have been officially delayed now for 3 more months.
What are the X ones?
The X ones are the Beats version, the very small Beats version. So the Beats Solo, the two of the Beats versions have shipped, the two big ones, the cans. But the Beats X, the tiny ones on the screen there, they're also...
Do you think this
trouble.
Is the W1 chip that's causing the problem then?
I think producing Apple was you know, crowing about how minute and how stuffed full of electronics that they had, you know, speakers and noise canceling mics and accelerometers and everything in there. And I think it turns out that mass producing those is hard.
Yeah. These aren't as cool. Go ahead, Nanny.
Also, it's a Beats product, so they have to really make sure they retain the signature feature of the brand, which is to annoy everybody else on the subway car with the sound leaking from your headphones, which is a tough nut to crack with in-ear earbuds, but they're determined to make sure that it holds up that Beats signature.
They do, but it makes it good for the snow. They do make them in white if you want to lose them in the snow, but they have a wire around your neck. As opposed to the lovely AirPods. So Apple kept some of the super technology for itself. Mm-hmm. And these are W1. Now, the headphones are aptX compatible, the new Bluetooth audio standard, right?
As far as I know, yeah, they'll work with any standard Bluetooth device. So like an Apple TV.
But will they use aptX? Now, I know the iPhone doesn't have aptX, but the MacBook Pro does.
I don't know. That's a good question. I just paired them and used them like a dummy.
If you don't know, how am I supposed? Let's see.
I didn't even think about looking because I've gotten so used to an Apple ecosystem where all like HDTP and everything is just abstracted away. Yeah.
Well, so there's a better Bluetooth now. HDTP is the old stereo music standard. It's somewhat compressed, and I have been told. I think we talked about this on Sunday. When did we talk about this? Maybe it was last week with Adam Christensen. Who was it told me this? Anyway, oh no, I guess it was Devinder Hardawar who told me this on Sunday on Twit, that because I was complaining that Bluetooth headphones, even expensive ones, don't sound quite as good as wired headphones. And he said aptX, that's the new technology, is a little less compressed sounding. But oddly enough, the iPhone 7 does not support it. The MacBook Pro does. There's more room, I guess. So, and I understand the AirPod. I was told that the AirPods...
People familiar with radios.
Let me see if Apple says anything here on the specs.
Oh, that would be so nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. aptX is... I'm very interested in aptX. And there are aptX... they don't... You know, it is. It's very Apple-y, isn't it? They just... most interesting questions. What is Apple's policy when customers lose these headphones? That's quite interesting.
Why does this happen to me is the first question.
Do good things happen to bad people? I mean, bad things happen to...
It was funny. Spigen announced today a series of cords that you could put on to keep them together so that if they fell, at least they'd fall as a big single unit.
I really love the ear stud approach. There should be a little tether that goes in your ear, you know, in your lobe, like an earring. If they fall out, they just hang there. Why can't we? I would get my ears pierced just for that.
It's a nose. It's a chain that goes to your nose.
Oh,
there's got to be a Kickstarter in this. The people who have like those stretched earlobes, the discs that they're inside their earlobes, like a Bluetooth headset that takes advantage of the fact that that's the most secure place. You know, it's horrifying for people who don't have stretched out earlobes, but if you do. Why lose your earbuds in the snow? It seems like a no brainer. Renee, I did want to ask you a question, and this is not a loaded question. Are you now you've had these in your possession for a couple of months now? Do you use them voluntarily? Are they your favorite earphones, or do you mostly wear them when you need to test something out?
No, I wear them all the time. I wear them in the car when I'm driving. I wear them when I'm out walking. I wear them, you know, if I'm in a room and I don't want to disturb other people. And I have the big Bose, but they're phenomenal. They cancel all the sound everywhere. I think they cancel my neighbor's sound, but they're just really, really big. And I don't want that much weight on my head a lot of the time. And I have – the only problem with these is they're not noise canceling. So if I'm on a long flight, I will still plug in the old Bose because making engine noise disappear is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And these are designed more for like you're out on the road. You still want to hear that car coming, which is a very different problem to solve for. So I would say 90% of the time I'm using these now, and I really like them.
I can't find any information.
I unloaded the question
about aptX. Well, you know what?
I'm still using. I still like the Bluetooth headphones that I got for the purposes of testing. I have to say that for convenience, I still find myself mostly wearing wired headphones, but only because I only have one pair of Bluetooth headphones that I can wear outside. And if it's not nearby, I probably have a set of corded headphones already in my pocket or already in my laptop bag. It's not worth going upstairs to look for them.
My problem with the corded ones is that they always fell out. I have ears that have been mangled by grappling for years, and I would just go out for a walk, and within 2 seconds, they'd fall out, and I'd put them back in, and I would end up holding one hand over my ear just to keep them in, and I thought it was just my ears, and nothing would ever fix it. But the lack of a cord pulling on these means that I think like 95% of the time they stay in, even when I move my head around. I mean, I have to thrash to fall out, or I have to sort of lean over to take a photo, and sometimes I'll fall out.
You should have a Geordie-style headband that just goes over your eyes and ears and keeps everything in place.
The eyeglasses.
The eyeglasses. I'm telling you, I'm getting my ears pierced. You could get a jeweler to make you. Is there anything you could hook into those?
A Prince Apple.
Is there any, like, anywhere on that? I guess you could drill a little hole in it somewhere, maybe.
Well, Georgia had a separate set of earrings that actually looped up underneath them. Not intentionally. They were sort of like a tooth-shaped, and they ended up just holding them, which I thought was great.
Okay. If she just sent me the brand of those, I'll get those instead.
Yeah.
Because if I'm going to wear weird, dopey things coming dribbling out of my ears, I might as well go all the way and earrings.
I usually just wear one because I mostly listen to podcasts or audiobooks, right, and I don't need stereo, and it lasts long. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's only half as goofy.
It's not that goofy. In fact, when you were here, I remarked, because you were wearing them, at how surprisingly normal they looked.
We'll get used to
it. We'll get used to everything, don't we, eventually?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, you know what? After last week's show, I got a lot of hate mail and hate tweets and things from people who said, you guys are so, well, mostly me, so negative, so gloomy and glum. And so I'm going to make, this is going to be a cheerful Mac Break Weekly.
I got called an apologist, so I was going to double down on the hate.
We can't win. You're too nice or too not nice. It doesn't.
Hates, Renee's an apologist, and Andy's handsome. I just don't know what to do.
That's mostly the mail I get, yeah. Can you give me the phone number of that good-looking guy with the sideburns?
I got to say, someone on my Instagram basically made a Top Gear analogy where Renee is Richard Hammond, I'm James May, and you're Clarkson.
Hey, if I could choose anybody to be, I'd be Clarkson. Producer. I want to punch you in the nose.
Again?
I was ready to punch my gardeners in the nose this morning. So the landscapers, you know, the guys who come in every few weeks and trim the stuff, dumped for some reason. I don't know. I'm a little late from the show anyway. I'm about to leave about 10 minutes before 11. And I'm open the garage door, and there's a giant pile. I mean, it's a waist-high pile of black bark right in front of my garage door. And I'm going, guys, I'm in here. Hello. I feel like I'm in Montreal, and it snowed black bark or something. I guess you guys are used to this, but I wasn't prepared for it. And then I think I dinged the Tesla trying to angle around it. I kind of hit the water softener, and I don't know. So I was ready I feel like Jeremy Clarkson. I'm ready, but I'm not, because this is the cheerful, happy-go-lucky, happy Mac Break Week.
Slap happy.
I do want to start a petition. Now, this is not negative, but I do really, after thinking long and hard about what we talked about last week, I really want to start a petition to bring back the cheese grater Mac. That's what everybody wants, really. Don't they? Nothing unhappy about that. We just...
I will say that, and this is also not meant as a dig, but I have like one cheese grater Mac behind me. It's now being used as it's basically a pillar support for a small table behind me that supports my lights. I'm looking to buy a second one so that I can build like a really nice like oak or teak like top for it and make it into an actual functional coffee table.
Would it be turned on, or would it just sit there?
No. I'm slowly gutting it. It's so weird. Like I'm doing a lot of like soldering, like in the office, and it's like I'm dealing with like rosin fumes, and so I'm like, oh, what? Yeah, which I had a small fan that looked behind me and say, oh, there are a couple of like 12-volt square fans in there. So I keep like ripping it apart for parts. And last week I took out the box fan so I could just basically make a ventilation hood for my desk. So I use it. It's still useful. It's still like, you know, making it's a job I like. It's being ripped apart for parts, but hey. G5, that's a testament to the G5
processor. You have a G5. It's not even an Intel? What?
Oh, come on.
Mine is a Nehalem.
Nehalem. Is that the
Nehalem
last
Macro.
One? I think that's what I have,
I think
too.
I finished my review of the Apple Designed in California book, and going through those pages, there's some great appliance computing designs in there, like the iPhones and the iPads, but I was struck again at how amazing and ingenious some of their designs were when it came to making stuff accessible. Things like the original latch on the unibody Mac that let you change the battery, or some of the ways that RAM was placed in iMacs or Mac Minis. And when you go through the pages of the Mac Pro design, and I still have the Nehalem one here, and you take that side panel off and you see there's no screws. You can just pull out hard drives, push them back in, pull out RAM, push it. You can move. It is a miracle of design, and just Apple used to be able to do both. They used to be able to make computers that were absolutely gorgeous, but that could also grow with you as you grow. And I think there's an argument to be made that, fine, mobile is becoming an appliance because that's a very different audience. It's very mainstream. They don't want to have to fuss with their computers. They just want to work. That's fine. But I think once you satisfy that, there's a huge argument to be made that you can take the desktop brands and you can do them like you used to do the Mac Pro, and you can make them. I'd love a Mac Mini Tower that had some expandability to it.
So nice.
With those same kind of clever latch designs. I think that those would be killer products.
Yep. So this was the last Mac Pro. It was 2012. And it was a Xeon 3500. It was Bloomfield. This is actually pretty usable. I think this is, I have this at home. I'm really embarrassed to say it's the kid's computer. He's running Windows and he plays all his Windows games.
You could throw some SSDs in there and it flies.
Well, that's what I did. So in fact, we did it on a know-how. I put SSDs in and I got the latest graphics card I could. You know, you have a very limited choice of graphics cards for Apple because they have to have the connectors, the physical hardware is a little different. But I got somewhere, Mac Sales or somewhere, I got the last card I could get. And it's actually, he's using it to game all the time on Windows. So it's on Windows 10. It's pretty usable. Maybe I should reclaim it. Maybe I should take it back from him. Because
it's a gorgeous object. I think it's one of the most beautiful computers I've ever owned,
and it's functional. Also,
it's functional. There's so many things that I love the G4 the G4 Cube, which is still just one of the most exciting computers to upgrade. You kind of look forward to it because no tools. You just actually have one.
Do you have one right there? Pretty, oh, that's right. It's your lamp. That's right. No, you turn
his table, his lamp.
Look at this. Five USB ports. They're 2.0, but there's five of them. Four FireWire 800 ports. I can't remember how many drive bays it had. It was like eight drive bays. Four. It was a ton. You could put it, and it was easy to put them in. You just flip the lever, and this would be, and Apple does have to do a new Mac Pro this spring, I would presume.
I hope.
I would love to see them. It doesn't have to look exactly like this, but let's do a tower, shall we?
Yeah. That's such a cool challenge, too. The idea of saying that here is you can't make it banana-shaped. You cannot make it like a 3D. You can't make it like a Klein bottle. You are stuck with making it a tower Mac, a tower computer that is basically engineered towards making it really easy to put drives in and upgrades because that's the sort of user.
Exactly.
No, but that's what you're stuck with. But how cool can you make it if I'm not going to let you make it into a cylinder or anything weird like that?
But this was cool. I mean, this was really a beautiful design. We call it the cheese grater because of the way the front looks and the amazing little details, like as the metal bends around, the holes don't distort. I mean, that meant they drilled them distorted so that they would be normal once it bent around. I mean, just little things like that. This was
things and big things. The Luxo iMac also was just amazing because not only was it super super cool, like we have that floating 15-inch screen that's on top of that sort of half of a volleyball sort of shape. And then the more you look at it, the more you realize that this is a machine that can easily be adjusted so that the parents can use it at the desk. And then when the kids want to use it, they can easily pull the screen down to their height. The bar that connects the screen to the base is sturdy enough so it can be used as a carrying handle, which is such a great echo to the original Mac. If you want to stand up and use it, you can stand up and use it. It's just such a beautiful thing, not just for its physical appearance, but how that physical appearance is 100% in sync with in service to the function that it's supposed to actually perform.
Yeah.
I mean, if they stuck with that design and kept churning out IMAX like that, oh boy, I would not be displeased at all.
I think the current iMac design works just fine for me. But the point with both of these is they're not really highly upgradable. And the Mac Pro needs to be something throw drives in, throw more RAM in. You know, I mean, and it really, it was the best PC case ever. I think it was really nice.
It was genius.
Oh, well. You know, I mean, times change and so forth, but I think while Apple's could, I guess it's too late even probably if they're going to announce something in the spring to even think about that.
Every few years, there's a new Dr. Julio. They have a chance to regenerate.
There's a chance. There's a chance. Phil Schiller says Black Friday was very, very good for Apple. The highest monthly sales ever in the App Store. Record breaker. Now, since the last year was $1.1 billion in sales in the 2 weeks over the holiday season, it's got to be more than that. So
that doesn't even the holiday season yet. That's still coming this month.
Oh, that's right. That's just Black Friday.
He's announcing that record so he can get it on paper before the new one shatters it.
Yeah, it will be another one, sure. I'd love to see some numbers, but that's okay. We don't have to see numbers. That's their business, not mine. See, I'm being cheerful.
Well, I think they usually put that out right after the holidays, but they want to tout the biggest number possible, and that's going to be the one in a few weeks with all that Super Mario Run money in their coffers.
Hey, that's coming. Is it Thursday, right? Do you have an advanced copy?
I have seen the demo at the Apple stores.
Play it. Yeah, you can play it now at the Apple stores, right?
Yeah.
Or is it just a demo?
It's a demo, and it wasn't working perfectly when I was there because it was like 3 minutes after they set it up. But I did get a chance to watch it and move around and stuff. And it's Mario. I mean, it's Mario on rails. It really is a endless runner sort of a thing. But as someone who's wanted Nintendo games on iOS products for a long time, I mean, my ultimate dream would be to have Nintendo make physical controllers, MFI controllers, that I could pick up and play on the Apple TV and just have Donkey Kong and have Super Mario and have Mario Kart. And that way I would feel like I'm holding Nintendo because my connection to Nintendo hardware is their controllers.
Right.
And I would be able to, you know, and play those games, and they would have access to hundreds of millions of devices. But I'll take this for now.
There was some criticism about it because you have to be online to play it, which is kind of impractical.
There are games where you need to be, like Pokemon Go, because it's a completely server-side game. People are really understanding of it.
Yeah.
But they seem to be doing it just for piracy, which to me is pessimistic.
Yeah, when they talked to Shigeru Miyamoto, he did an interview. And let me see if I can find the actual interview, because if you scroll down where they ask him about it.
I think it's on Mashable.
Yeah, Mashable did the interview. At the very end of it, he says, security. And then I love it because the guy who's doing the interview says, by security, you mean piracy? He says, yes. So it's not for your benefit. So he says, I learned today Super Mario, I should give him credit because this is the interviewer, Adam Rosenberg on Mashable. He says, I learned today Super Mario Run requires an internet connection to play. What's the reason for that? Any thoughts about an offline mode? And then Shigeru goes through a fairly circuitous justification. He spins it. For us, we view our software as being a very important asset. Also for consumers who are purchasing the game, we want to make sure we're able to offer it to them in a way the software is secure. They're able to play in a stable environment. And then he goes on four more paragraphs, and finally Adam says, just to be clear, when you say security, you mean the risk of privacy, right? Yeah, that's correct. So how does being online prevent privacy? A piracy?
Well, so they're a huge, like if you talk to any of the developers, like even the Monument Valley developers, I think they spoke about it at one point, and they have massive piracy rates. Anyone who tries to make a non-free games, you know.
What does that mean, though? I don't understand. The sideloads of it?
Yeah, people crack it, especially Chinese third-party app stores and jailbroken iPhones. That's very common. You basically jailbreak the iPhone, download third-party stores, and then download a whole bunch of cracked apps. And sometimes they have malware on it, so it's a huge security risk as well. But that's just part of the industry. But I think it's the same thing as HDCIP, digital copyright protection, is that it ends up affecting normal people more than it does the pirates, because they figure out ways around it, and you're stuck on an airplane not able to play your Mario game. And you'll play something else, but that's bad for them because they want you to enjoy their game.
Yeah, any piracy is, I think it's always a bad idea. And it comes from this, you know, you're looking through the window at all the people playing your game who didn't pay for it, and you go, I should be making $5.99 for each one of those. And I think partly you could say those people would never have paid for it in the first place. And most iPhone users, maybe not in China, but most iPhone users everywhere else do not jailbreak their iPhone and buy from off-brand stores. That is a security issue.
Yep.
So maybe he's right when he says security. So if it's online, it can check and say, what? Is this legitimate?
Yeah, I mean, it's similar to Pokemon Go, where I think it won't serve parts of the game if it's not online and authorized.
Yeah, but
authorized server connection.
So why wouldn't the stolen one be authorized?
It depends. Like, so again, they can put a lot of assets on the server side. I don't know exactly what they're doing here because they haven't really spoken about it. But you can
put a lot
of assets.
That's the first thing the Chinese pirates do, is they go, well, let's flip that bit.
Well, it's the same thing. Like they put copyright protection on your DVD. Meanwhile, there are people on boats in the harbor making thousands of copies of the DVD.
Yeah. Instantly. Well, I want to play it. Now, the chat room is saying, well, the only thing wrong with the on rails always running thing is you can't go back and pick up items you missed, which is by the way, that's how I play Mario. Oh, I missed that. And I never get anywhere because then I die.
There'll be a version 2 where you can go left. I mean, all the stuff gets fixed with that.
I know. I'm actually thinking this is the Mario for people like me. Just don't worry about it. It's like life. You can't go back and fix it. Just you're always moving.
Let's go.
Let's go, Mario. I'm not of a vintage that would appreciate that. It's your age group.
Yeah, I grew up with Super Nintendo.
People in their 30s. How about you, Andy? Are you a Mario fan?
My family couldn't afford like a video game console, and so I never really got bit
by
that.
Oh my god, I'm gonna cry.
I know, isn't it terrible? I used to go to my friend's house where he'd have an Atari 2600, and
it must have felt terrible.
I know, poor little match boy.
I was a fully grown adult, and so I bought my Atari 2600, I think when did the NES, when did Mario emerge? It was in the mid-80s, 85, 86, something like that.
Yeah.
I
remember Donkey Kong as a kid.
Yeah, I remember Donkey Kong and the coin-op.
Yeah. Talk about your internet purchases.
I played that one. A lot of quarters lost. Well, anyway, see, nothing but good news. We've got AirPods on order. Yours are going to come before Christmas. Mine are going to come, they say, January 12th. Although lately Apple's been sneaking it out a little sooner, right? That's like under promise, over deliver. And so I'm hopeful. And then Mario and good wonderful, cheerful, happy MacBreak Weekly. We love everything.
Leon R. See, doomed.
You're exactly like when Jeremy Clarkson starts his segment by saying, "People complain that we never seem to review normal cars under all conditions. So I'm going to be reviewing the new Toyota Supra. Can it survive a 2,000-foot fall?"
I am Jeremy Clarkson.
Some say he was born.
The old new practical.
I haven't watched the new one. Is it good?
The first one was all right. The second one I didn't like.
Oh. Well, it's not the same, is it? It's not like Top Gear. It's a different kind of show.
The second one, they were like commandos. It was very confusing.
What?
It's a good series. The third one was pretty good. My problem is that now we're starting to get into like platform lock-in, where Amazon is not willing to create a video player for every single platform. So I actually had to like dig out my Amazon Fire Stick from whatever box it was in and plug it in to find a TV that had an open like HDMI port just so I could watch this one show. And as I'm doing this, I've got like the YouTube app, which is like the default app on all of my different players. And I'm thinking, if I just decided to watch one of the pirated versions of it that was uploaded to YouTube, slightly slowed down so that the copyright censors couldn't find it, I would have already seen this 8 times. Yeah. But no, yeah. I have to create...
Yeah.
You know, it's true of all. I'm really becoming an anti-fan of exclusive content. If that exclusive content isn't like Netflix or YouTube, where you have to have special hardware to watch it on your TV.
By the way, I just love it. Every time I hear anybody say Amazon Fire Stick, I feel like you should be saying Amazon Fire Stick good.
Yeah, I think in a post-Galaxy Note world, you don't want that as your brand.
Fire Stick burn.
Go all in on Kindle.
You have my audio, Karsten? Because before we go to the break, I just thought it would be kind of fun to hear Shigeru Miyamoto and the Roots performing. Look at it. Look at it. He's playing the guitar. That Mario never sounded so good.
Oh, that's... Go on YouTube and just spend hours listening to Mario covers. Some of them are just incredible.
It's so cool to see this.
It's great. It's great music. It's like such an iconic tune.
Jimmy Fallon's going by. Questlove has a little, it looks like a little Mario, Lego Mario heart on his lapel. I think it's cool that Miyamoto can play the Mario theme on a guitar.
He's not just a pretty face.
He's not just a pretty face.
They say don't meet your heroes, but there are exceptions.
Oh, man. Isn't he the guy that Nintendo won't let drive himself because he's so... he's so valuable to the company that they... No. Shigeru, we're going to send a car for you. You may not drive.
Jeremy Clarkson is... No, James May is driving.
Yeah, right.
You'll get there very soon.
If Putin has a list of like 30 people that he is willing to kidnap to encourage like Russian interests, I believe that he would be on that
Numero
list.
Numero uno, yeah. Yes. Just don't let the stick drive him. That would be bad.
The stick.
Our show today. What happened to the stick, by the way? He's gone, right?
There's no stick. There's some obnoxious American, like a deliberately obnoxious American driver, and they can't do the celebrities in the cheap cars, so they keep saying a celebrity's coming on, but then they have an accident and can't actually show up, which I find very frustrating.
That's pretty funny. Well, at least they're...
Charlize Theron got eaten by a lion. I mean, it keeps going.
Our show today brought to you by a great holiday gift. I'm bringing this out. I hope Mom don't listen. If you're listening, put your hands over your ears. Bringing this out to Mom. We're going to go visit her after Christmas, and I'm going to bring her a Ring video doorbell because she's 83, and when the doorbell rings, she's always home. That's not the problem. It's just that she shouldn't have to get up and go to the door if it's somebody she doesn't want to talk to. So now with a Ring video doorbell, I'm also bringing her, by the way, some Eero's. It's going to be a tech day, the first day I go out and visit. The doorbell, the Eero's, and an Amazon Dot. She's going to have the whole thing, and I'm going to set it all up for her. But this is cool because she already has an iPhone, and she can look at her iPhone and see who's at the door because the Ring video doorbell has a camera, an HD camera on it. So, but it's even more than that because you can answer the door from anywhere in the world. The Ring video doorbell pairs to your internet. And then when somebody rings your bell, or even just comes up the walk, because it has a motion sensor as well, you can see them. You can get notified. You can talk to them. It's got a speaker. And they can talk to you. It's got a microphone. This is the best IoT device ever invented. And 23 million Americans have had packages stolen from their home last year. This time of year is the worst time of all. There's always somebody coming to your door. There's always something on your doorstep. You can keep an eye on your stuff. Somebody yesterday in the chat room sent me a link. Oh, thank you. CCC has sent it again from KPTV in Oregon City that caught on camera, woman steals package off Oregon City porch. You know what? Why they caught it on camera? Ring the Ring video doorbell. There she is. There she is. She's stealing it. We caught you. We got you. Busted. Police have a description, and they're looking for her and her SUV. Wow. Wow. If you want to get on television, go borrow a package from somebody's porch that has a Ring video doorbell. I love the Ring. Right now you can get the Ring of Security kit and get $150 off when you visit ring.com/MacBreak. So there's two rings. There's the Ring and the Ring Pro. I have the original Ring. That's got a big battery in it, so you don't have to have a wired doorbell. But if you have a wired doorbell, get the Ring Pro. That's a lot. It's slimmer because it doesn't need a battery, and it has a 1080p camera, so it's a little bit higher res as well. The original Ring is 720p, which I find more than adequate to catch kids who are dinging and dashing. What is it? Dong and dash? Ditch. Dong and ditch? Ding dong ditch. Ding dong ditch. And okay, anyway, if somebody's ding dong ditching you, you'll have video of it. The basic kit includes the doorbell, and with every kit you get the sign, the lighted sign that gets solar powered, gets charged up during the day. The sign's nice because it kind of warns people, hey, I'm keeping an eye on things. They also have the stick-up cam, which is a Ring video doorbell minus the doorbell. So it can go in any part of your house. It's completely wireless because not only is it Wi-Fi, but it comes with the stick-up cam's solar panel, which charges it during the day and it runs all night. Both the Ring doorbell and the stick-up cam have night vision, by the way. And they're both wireless and waterproof. So you can, and by the way, the stick-up cam, I love it, has a speaker and a microphone too. So if you put, I want to put a stick-up cam where the raccoons, you know, come to the back in the backyard and go, hey, get out of here. Shoo.
You varmints.
Varmint. Right, yeah, yada. I love these. You're going to want it. It is awesome. 24/7 monitoring of your home, no matter where you are in the world. Ring.com/MacBreak. Take your pick of the Ring of security kits, the one that's right for you. Save it at $150 right now. Ring.com/MacBreak. I love this. I had to tell Mom there's going to be a bunch of packages coming. Do not open them because all this stuff is being shipped to her door. But this will be the last time she has to get up, go to the door, pick up the package. CarPlay now available. You know, these things take time. Cars move slowly in 200 different models. If you're going to buy a car for the new year, 9to5 Mac says CarPlay is in all of these models. Audis, Hondas, Maserati. Oh, my next Ghibli. I'll get a CarPlay in Kia, Mitsubishi, Suzuki, and Volkswagen.
I saw it in a Ferrari California. It was pretty awesome. Wow. It had like an actual decent display. And because some of the early ones were just cobbled together, they stuck any parts they could, like resistive displays, knob-driven displays, a few capacitive ones. But the latest generation are getting good. It's a glacial industry where,
yeah.
I think like the wireless CarPlay was announced a year, maybe 2 years ago, and might show up in cars next year or the year after. But they're starting to ship a lot more of them.
So you can go to the website. In fact, I would before you buy the car. Because a lot of times you get to the dealership and they're really kind of clueless. Yeah, sure. You can use your iPhone, no problem.
Your so, car plays. Plays
sure,
fine.
Plays fine. What do you want? It's got four tires,
brakes.
We can
sell you a cassette adapter for only $90.
Yeah, exactly.
Like 8-track, but with bits.
So, you know, it's not true everywhere. There are some really good salespeople out there who will know exactly what you're talking about. But I think it's best to be prepared. Go to the Apple website. They've launched now 50 new models. A number of 2017 models, and some other stuff that Jeep Compass will be the first Jeep to come with CarPlay, the 2017 Jeep Compass, the 2017 BMW 5 Series sedan with wireless CarPlay built in. That's kind of cool. So it's usually wired?
Yeah, the original version you had to connect to Lightning in order for it to sort of take over and power the car. The new ones work over Bluetooth.
Now, what do you think of this? This is Sony's making a CarPlay display that you can buy. $499.
I love the aftermarket stuff because, you know, I got my car the year before they started offering it, and you can't upgrade a car. I mean, we get upset when we can't upgrade our computers, but you want that? You got to buy the new car. Dashboard 2017 is not compatible with Dashboard 2016, sucker. So any of the aftermarket stuff, I think it's extremely useful if it'll fit in your sort of cabin area.
It's big too. It's got a 6.4-inch display, voice control with Apple CarPlay. It does Android Auto too, I think, because why not?
It's hard to find any manufacturer, not just of cars, but even of third party head units that have decided to be exclusive one or the other. They really want to make sure that no matter what you have in your pocket when you walk into that car, it's going to work with whatever they've got in that dashboard. So that's I wonder if that's one of the reasons why we haven't been seeing either company, Google or Apple, super aggressively promoting it the way that they promote a lot of their other product lines, because it seems as though they can't get really a tactical advantage. All they can do is get parity with the competition.
We got 10.2 yesterday.
Yay!
We did.
And we got the new TV. Oh, you didn't?
I didn't get the new TV app. I got the 10.2. I saw you going over the new emoji, Leo.
Played with an emoji in iOS today.
Is terrifying.
Is that one of the new ones? Because that is very scary.
Yeah, the clown is terrifying. The cowboy is just kind of rude, but the clown is terrifying.
Yeah. Okay, see, because I'm not so emoji literate that I knew immediately which were new emojis and which weren't. So
some of the new faces, like the laughing crying on an angle face, is new. There's a bunch of bloggers, but Leo, we've been left out because there are no gray-haired bloggers. I mean, it's totally
they don't have gray hairs. They do have some gray hair jobs, don't they?
They have Santa and I think old people
and busboy at Denny's.
Yes. Nope, there's a lot of professional emoji. There's a lot of they've gender balanced a lot of the emojis. So there's a lot of both male and female versions now. Getting a terrifying clown and cowboy face.
I'm sending that clown a bunch all of new the food. Time. That is just bacon. Scary as hell. Bacon, yay.
Yep.
And Apple's emojis now are kind of more photorealistic, a little more photorealistic.
They redrew almost all of them, and they made them cleaner and more vivid.
Yeah. Oh, I like that one.
There's a shrug. You don't have to do the little ASCII shrug art anymore like an animal. You can use an actual shrug emoji.
Yeah. I guess
there's no poutine. I mean, sadly, but hopefully that'll be in the next code spec.
Don't worry, citizen. An international tribunal has provided you with this list of approved emotions that you're allowed to express to one another. Don't make up some of your own. If you're not having these 12
emotions,
a Gramaton cleric
is on its way now.
One will be provided for you.
A sense offender. You're all sense offenders.
There's a pregnant woman. There's a pickle. there's a salad. I like the salad.
Yep.
That's very healthful looking. But doesn't that, it really looks real. It looks good enough to eat.
Well, part of emoji originally came from Japan, so they were heavily skewed towards Japanese culture. So they had like rice balls and all sorts of cuisine that you would find all through Japan, but you wouldn't find as common. You'd find very different things in North America.
So Mother Christmas. That's good. Look at that. Yeah. Yeah, it has to be universal, right?
Yeah.
That's why
pictographic no poutine. Language.
Yeah. Man in tuxedo with mustache same color as flesh. Prince. Face palm is one I'll be using a lot. And you can get face palm in either male or female.
I'm waiting for the double face palm.
Shrug, again, gender neutral. Astronauts, all the professions, thanks to Google, who really pushed hard for this, have both male and female equivalents. Teacher. I remember when Jeremy stopped by from Emojipedia, he was, the technologist has a Mac, of course, because it's Apple.
Yeah. Well, the Apple's rendering, yeah.
Yeah, this is, so every company does
that. Isn't that sad, though? They all have the old Macs. The old MacBooks with all back illuminated
logos. We gotta get to work.
I will say Apple has the best glass of whiskey. Of all the glass of whiskey emojis, Apple really nailed it. It's the good stuff.
Firefighter. Now, there was some controversy over the farmer because she's growing carrots, and apparently that's pretty Western. Whoa, singer. That's a Bowie tribute.
And the singer parts her hair on the right, not the left.
Also Jem. She's totally outrageous.
Yeah. Jem?
Jem.
Synergy.
Factory worker.
She's totally outrageous. Jem and the Holograms. Come on, man.
I'm sorry. I'm not hip like you guys.
Jem.
Artist.
We are the misfits. Our songs are better. Let's get started.
Which was actually kind of true. I hate to say it. I mean, they were mean people, but
there's the lying face, the Pinocchio emoji. Here's a sneezing face.
But Sid Vicious killed somebody. That's the
nice.
That
was ghost punch in the nose.
It looks like ghost punch in the nose. Drooly is not good. I'm not going to use that one. Rolling on the floor laughing is actually kind of rolling and laughing.
Yeah. Being attacked by slugs.
Cowboy. Here comes. Get ready. Brace yourself, scary clown.
I know, terrifying. And Phil Nickerson and I started looking at the different emoji for clowns across platforms, and they're all terrifying.
There's no way to make a clown not so terrifying, I think. That clown looked like I could eat it, like a clown cake, maybe, like I would get it.
It looked like the clown on Will Wheaton's sweater.
Carvel.
In that photo.
Yes. Exactly. Left facing left fist, fist.
So you can
right
do a fist
facing
bump.
Fist. Oh, I was wondering. Oh. See, oh. And they say call me, but I think it could be hang loose, brah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hang loose, brah.
Selfie.
Might one throw the goat via emoji, or is are we still living in caveman times?
I don't think we have that yet. Shark. Ooh, that's a... Apple, again, is really, in some of these, very photorealistic. The duck. That looks.
There's no jumping the shark, though. No.
Yeah. Well, I wish there were. Maybe we could make that. You know, you can combine emojis in unusual and different ways.
Yeah.
There's a gecko. A
Geico.
Bat. Geico gecko. A bat. I like the bat.
I'm throwing Pokeballs at all of these as they go by, Leo, just so that you're aware.
Yeah, it does. They do look a little like Pokemon, don't they? Rhinoceros. The squid was very interesting. I don't know if that was anatomically correct. Fox face. These are all the new ones. Shrimp.
Where's the trash panda?
This is all courtesy of Emojipedia, a scroll of all of the new emojis. There are quite a few.
My God. Just think about how much money this would have cost as clip art back when the Mac 2 came out.
I know. On a CD.
It doesn't scale, though, that big, right? I mean, they kind of get a little blurry as you get them big. Egg. They didn't have
is
egg.
Is it hatching a baby? Is it hatching a baby?
What did you do if you were on Twitter and you didn't have an icon? I know. I'm going to use the egg emoji as my Twitter image.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, that'll confuse the hell out of people. The kiwi
it
fruit.
It seems like the avocado emoji is getting a lot of attention. Ooh. And I'm not sure
now,
why.
This shallow pan of food is clearly paella, but apparently it was fairly paella. Controversial. Because in some areas, they don't put shrimp in their paella. That avocado, man, that looks good. Oh, and brown liquor of some kind. Very tasty.
And they restored the peach to the bum proxy that it was meant to be.
Yes,
Leo.
So originally they took the bottom out, and they put the bottom out of the peach. They put the bottom back, and I'm glad, because you need something.
Are they that sophisticated? I actually wonder if they're thinking, okay, no, we're going to have something that is not actually a wiener.
No, there was
clearly is intended to use.
They did
as
reverse
one.
Angle on the eggplant though, so that's
there was an uproar. There was an uproar. If you want, if you're going to do smutty texting, you've got to have the proper emojis.
Exactly.
And you know, at this point,
it's
a
healthy part of a relationship.
There are quite a few emojis you could use, like the carrot. But it's kind of widely agreed now. There's bacon. Mmm, tasty. That I think that musty. There's kind of a common understanding. Wrestlers, and we don't mix sexes when we wrestle. Fencing with an orange dot so they won't get shot by police.
Touche.
Handball. What? That's not handball. What is that? Person doing cartwheel.
That's questionable. I would not think I wouldn't think something vulgar, but I wouldn't think he's doing a cartwheel.
Juggling. Boxing glove. Here's the Karate Kid.
All you see someone's punching the juggler. That's very accurate.
Karate do.
Kind of, if they only had a mime, I could punch. Goal net. Goal! You're number one, and it's gold. You're number two, and it's silver. You're number three, and it's bronze. Who was going to send a bronze medal to somebody?
Is that one middle level manager?
Nice try, but
participant medal.
Drum. Oh, I like the Vespa. That's a nice Vespa. Apple clearly had some aspirations to live la dolce vita. A scooter, a canoe, shopping cart. I must be hungry because everything's making me hungry.
I
must be time for lunch. Oh,
never
black heart.
Right after-
Ooh, yeah. What would you use that for? Ooh, black heart. That's like, I love you, but I hate you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Emojipedia. See,
that is fascinating. It's almost as if we're trying to create a new alphabet, and we know that, or excuse me, the people who are responsible for maintaining the emoji archive have to know that we can't just have things that are positive and uplifting and that are good for society that we approve of, because this is a mode of communication that people are going to be using. People are going to like be responding to, if people are going to find out that their spouse is cheating on them and then send hateful text to them using emojis, there's going to have to be coverage for that sort of thing. If not to the extent of having, you know, a knife piercing a human heart and blood squishing everywhere, you got to have a black symbol heart. You have to have, you know,
a pentagram and goats with horns.
Otherwise, don't pretend that you're trying to help people communicate, because you have to.
Sometimes people have all kinds of emotions. Feelings inside. And yes. When you have bad feelings inside, it's good to let them out. But just remember, you don't have to be destructive when you do that. You can do it in a responsible way. Or you can send her a pickle. And actually, the Emojipedia people speculate that this might put the eggplant out of business. I don't know.
I'm invested in eggplant, Leo. I made a mistake with dungarees over jeans, and I'm not going to do it again.
There is the pregnant one we showed. The pregnant woman. Now, there was going to be one for breastfeeding, which was weirdly controversial, because Jeremy also told me this. He's from the Emoji community and the founder of Emojipedia, that they did want it to be gender neutral. But they didn't want to go so far as to have a male breastfeeding as well as a female breastfeeding. So they just cut the head off. So it's a headless torso breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. A ambiguously gendered torso. But
the pregnant one is single gendered.
I was thinking about that too.
Men apparently can nurse, but he told me this. Some men can nurse, but no man to date can get pregnant. But thanks to medicine.
Science will fix that.
Well, that's not necessarily true.
Okay, see.
For reasons that are not medical, but are very, very complex.
Right. You could be cisgender.
You could be a man, totally. but have the capability of bearing a child.
That's right. And be a man.
Because this is a wonderful year 20. Of all the awful things that have happened in 2016, there's an impetus to point things like that out.
I will be using the wilting rose frequently.
The Beauty and the Beast, or the teller's shadow trick.
Yes.
Emoji.
Well, we've now really. Is there anything else in 10.2 we should mention besides a new emoji? There's a new effect in the
TV app for Americans
and the TV app,
which amongst other things has this really good like single sign in for multiple services, which in itself makes makes it onto Apple TV sooner rather than later, and of course the ability to simply have all the content from all of your services that provide video in one hopper, as opposed to here are icons you can use to launch apps that will find content for you. The ability to have a dashboard that's a little bit more like what you get when you sign on to the Sling service. Here are all the shows that are on right now, or here's the content that's available to you, regardless of wherever they are.
Can you see this? I don't have I should get my iPad and show you. Because this is kind of small. Welcome to the TV app. And by the way, if you update to 10.2, you don't have to download the TV app. It just appears magically because it's replacing videos. So basically, this is the new videos, which is important to know, because when I first heard about it, I thought, oh, well, this is just for streaming services. But it also includes all the things you've purchased and anything you have in your video library on your device. Here, we'll do it on my iPad here. It's a little bit
easier. It's like the music app, but for video.
Yeah. Update your carrier apps. Terrify people. TV, there it is. So, the big missing feature, of course, is Netflix. But you do have cross-service searching, which is nice, right? Mm-hmm. Single sign-on, that's huge. If it had Netflix, there's a few services that are not here yet. So, I don't know what the holdup is.
Some of them just don't want a seed controller interface.
Also, there could be a problem with metrics where, okay, do we get to know who is asking for what and where you're steering us?
Yeah,
very contentious. There's a lot of kind of juvenile stuff going on with the deployment of apps, as we were discussing earlier. So,
and here's my library, all the TV shows I purchased. So in a way, some ways it's kind of like iTunes as well, right? Because you would see this in the iTunes store. But that's nice. So I can now have, and then what is Watch Now? If you have video apps, then you will they'll show up here. Hulu, Stars, Showtime, HBO, whatever.
It's a big problem they had is that you could find things that were available, but you didn't know what was just playing now. Like they had a sort of a TV guide problem, and this is an attempt to solve that.
Yeah, I think
like you don't know what you want to watch. If you knew what you want to watch, you were fine. If you didn't know, it was very hard to browse around. Because that's a weird thing. Like you can have a bunch of DVDs on a shelf or downloads in a directory, and you'll go no. But then you'll turn on TV and cable, and something's just playing that you said no to 5 minutes ago, and you're like, it's playing already. And then you just sit there and watch it. And that we didn't have a digital equivalent of that.
Well, I'm sorry you don't have this in
one day.
Canada,
I have a dream.
Land. The rights thing is just a mess. Just like the DRM copy protection thing doesn't disadvantage bad guys, only real users. The rights thing, it's a shame. Anyway, they really...
It's a relic
of
archaic world.
Yeah, it's a relic, exactly what it is. Now, what we still want, of course, is live television on here, and that's something Apple has yet to been able to make those deals, although Les Moonves at CBS said that he has made a deal with, who was it, to do streaming? I think it was it AT&T, somebody. Apple is in talks with Hollywood, however, to get movies on iTunes sooner, like a two-week advantage. Or no, I'm sorry, 2 weeks after the debut of the movie. Well, yeah. That would be nice. I presume that would be to purchase, yeah?
Yeah, I think it was super expensive, or at least the talk. Well, not super.
$25 to $50 is.
There was a system. If you remember, like it was a couple of years ago, and they would come to your house and put this retina scan in, and you could retina scan in and pay $500 to see day and date movies, and that just didn't go anywhere. Not surprisingly, so they're still trying to sort of solve that problem.
It's also a problem where no matter, even if it's they're doing a deal with Apple, they make a huge their money vault comes from first run actual movie theaters. And previously, when a company has tried to do a major release this way, by it's going to release in theaters and we'll also have it available for a limited time, for even for like a 1 day screening available on Netflix or on some streaming service, the theater chain said, well, guess what? We're not screening your movie. And so instead of opening in 4,000 theaters, it's opening in like 500 theaters. And it's such a money pit that they were dissuaded from going on again. So there's going to be a lot of diplomacy that has to be done if they're going to actually make that work.
Let's take a break. More coming with Andy Iannocco, Chicago Sun-Times, Renee Ritchie, iMore.com, MacBreak Weekly, the cheerful version brought to you today. By Tracker. Actually, I was brought to you today by Tracker because had I not found my keys, only to open the garage door and find a pile of dirt in front of it, I would not have made it here at all. Fortunately, I have a Tracker on my keys. Tracker is the quarter-sized, this is the Tracker Bravo, device that you could put on anything you would lose. Put it in your luggage. Put it on your remote control. Put it on your dog, your cat, your keys, anything that you would lose. And then you pair it to your phone. It's Bluetooth LE. That's low energy, so it doesn't suck battery life. But it does give you a location where this tracker is, whatever it's attached to. You name it, of course, so you know what it is that your tracker is tracking. I love this solution. And this is the best of the Bluetooth trackers. You know, some of the other ones, the battery dies, you have to throw it out. The tracker, it's easy to you pop it open, put a new battery in. They're affordable and expensive from the drugstore. And you're going again. You're back online. Tracker lasts, because of Bluetooth LE, about a year. Although I turn on some of the more, there are things you can do that are more energy intensive. Like I like the two-way separation alerts. So if I leave my keys behind, my phone howls. If I leave my phone behind, the tracker beeps at me. So you're much less likely to leave your phone behind. And then there's a button on the tracker that you push and it makes your phone beep too. Kind of like Find Your Phone, but it works on any phone. It really is a great idea. Tracker has also been such a success, 4.5 million trackers out there now, that they have this incredible thing that no one else can duplicate, the Tracker Crowd GPS network. In fact, I love this. On the website, it starts on 11/11 and goes through today. You could see the growth of the trackers. You can see they're selling like 100,000 a week. So you could see as the Tracker Crowd GPS gets even better and better and better. You see, here's the deal. You leave your keys with a tracker attached behind, and you can look on your phone to see the last place your phone saw it. But if you get outside of Bluetooth range more than 100 feet away, your phone stops updating. But don't worry. Somebody picks up your keys, brings them to the lost and found. Anybody with the tracker software running who walks by will see it and notify your software that where they saw the keys. So all of these blue dots, and by the way, these are blue dots all over the world, all of these blue dots are helping you. I'm helping. The density in Europe is amazing. I mean, it's covered, man. There's nowhere you can go in Europe that you won't get somebody saying, "Hey, I see your keys." Even Moscow, all over the world, Tracker is a huge success. I want you to go to TheTracker, TheTracker, TheTracker.com. If you're giving a gadget to a loved one, this would be a great stocking stuffer. Add a tracker, and they get the stocking stuffer, and then they get the gadget. It's so, you know, it's like Santa knew. TheTracker.com, you're going to get a free Tracker Bravo with your order if you use the offer code MACBREAK. We'll just throw an extra one in. So you can give one, get one. It's a holiday that just keeps on giving. TheTracker.com, promo code MACBREAK to get your free Tracker Bravo today. 4.5 million. Just really, they're doing great guns. Calendar spam, we talked about it. Apple has been working on a solution. They now have a report junk option. They're dealing with spam in your calendar very much like you would deal with email spam. Yep. Giving you the tools to report it and then help everybody else kind of block it. I think that this pretty much signals the end. Has it gone away, calendar spam? Are you still getting any?
It has for me.
Yeah. This solution is a great idea. So if some ship
I never had it, but what people are telling me, the people who did have it have seen a significant, if not complete, reduction of it.
Yeah. So Apple, first response was to talk to people who are getting calendar spam, get the information from them, start blocking these spammers, and now there's a tool that's built in that you can report junk.
Meanwhile, I had to scroll through 9 different spam Google Docs to get to the show notes today, but I'm not bitter.
Really? You're getting Google Docs spam now?
Google Docs spam for weeks and weeks. And you know what? Not a single headline, not a single statement from Google, not a single fix in the works. Nobody cares when it's Google. It's bitter about it.
Yeah, because you can send an invitation to somebody if you know their Google address, saying,
and it adds a folder right to their folder.
And it just adds it?
Yeah, and I get folders and folders filled with cheap parts from China for every conceivable thing.
They're smart.
Yeah.
Is Mr. Cook on his way to Trump Tower tomorrow?
Supposedly so.
All the CEOs?
Yep. Google's going to be there. Facebook's going to be there. I don't know if Bezos is going to be there. That would be an interesting confrontation, given that he also owns the Washington Post, that has been rather
well. But I think there's always a risk when you go to meet with Mr. Trump that he'll chew you out for something because he's mad at Apple. Remember, he said boycott Apple.
Boycott.
And then he said, "And we want you to bring your." Bring all your manufacturing back in the United States. I imagine that will come up.
Yeah, they're
did they just say after you, Mr. Trump? Did they give that as a response?
Yeah,
I have
and
to
remember. He had a similar summit with electronic news organizations to sort of get to know me. Now that I'm the president, the president elect, and supposedly it was one person who was there who did not want to be identified, referred to as a bloodbath, like the heads of CNN, telling CNN that, hey, you publish nothing but lies, you're a disgrace, you're horrible. Like, okay, this is going to be a fun 4 years, is it not? So meanwhile, you have with this little summit on Wednesday, he's going to have a room full of people who are richer than he is, more successful than he is, who operate on, who perhaps aren't quite so dependent on his largesse for continuing operations, because he can certainly do things to screw up lots of industries, but he has less power over Tim Cook than he might have over the head of CNN. There's no FCC that controls whether or not Apple can stay in business. So it could be, I'm really looking forward to seeing reports of what happened inside there. And also you have all these tech leaders who, none of whom really like stood by Trump and said, oh yes, well, we have no opinion on Trump. Yeah. Hooray. It's always, we are shocked. We are horrified by Tim Cook particularly. That's going to be an interesting conversation.
With the exception of Peter Thiel and a few others, Silicon Valley was pretty much pro Clinton.
Right, and now Peter Thiel is inside.
Thiel is, in fact, the one who issued the invitations to the CEOs. there was some thought that Elon Musk would be going, and then the last I heard is he couldn't go. There are a few CEOs declined because of scheduling.
My car ran out of charge. Yeah. I was kind of stuck.
Ryan Chesky of Airbnb said he wasn't going to go. Uber's Travis Kalanick. But it's going to be – it is interesting because he has a carrot as well as a stick. He has talked about repatriating, giving a deal if they'll repatriate their money held overseas. Apple has billions overseas. Would love a lower tax rate or no tax rate on that repatriated money. That's something he can offer them. What's concerning, I'm sure, to these guys going out there is Trump hasn't really shown much affinity or interest in technology. I mean, we know he's against net neutrality.
I'm not American, so I'm confused. Can he actually do that stuff, or is that like Senate and Congress stuff?
Well, he can appoint the FCC chairman.
Right. Okay. And, so he's already, as a matter of fact, the Democratic chairman of the FCC.
Oh, I meant like the tax stuff. Is that like...
The tax stuff? No, I think not. But remember, he has a Republican Congress. So the Congress is majority in both houses of Congress is held by the same party as the president-elect. So at least initially, I mean, it'll be interesting to see, but at least initially, I think they're going to rubber stamp whatever he wants. And let's face it, this is a very pro-business Congress and a very pro-business president. So in that respect, at least, I think Silicon Valley probably, is interested.
This isn't three-dimensional chess anymore. This is four-dimensional chess.
It's very complicated, yeah.
Because we have already seen really active pushback from what is going to be Republican-controlled Congress against Trump on several specific issues, particularly because the Republican majority is there, but it's kind of slim. So really all that has to happen is if just a couple of senators turn their votes there on a certain issue, that all goes away. And there is a lot of I'm talking as a political expert who actually just reads a lot of things he finds from legitimate news sources. But there doesn't seem to be the same sort of like, hey, great, we're all one party. We are all great. We are the executive branch and we are the legislative branch and soon we'll be the judicial branch, hopefully with some more appointments. We don't know if this person is. This person has not always been a Republican. This person has not always spouted what we believe as mainline Republican beliefs. We don't know if we should basically believe that this guy is going to be our ally or if we need to make sure that we get what we want. And we're not sure that we're going to get that
it's
from Trump.
It's a mystery, you know, and I think that's one of the reasons. First of all, the president-elect calls, you usually just respond and say, yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah,
and with interest because you want to know what's going to happen. Sheryl Sandberg of Facebook will be there, not Zuckerberg, but Sandberg. Of course, Peter Thiel's on the board at Facebook. And Tim Cook, Satya Nadella of Microsoft, Larry Page of Alphabet. Actually, now I'm looking, you know, by the way, if you this is probably too political for us, but Kara Swisher's article in Recode, as Trumple Thinskin lets down his hair for tech, shame on Silicon Valley for climbing the tower in silence. Calls on everybody to just boycott, but of course they're all going to go. And I see at Recode from Kara, this is as of yesterday, Elon Musk is in. So I just don't know. We'll see. I think it'll be, you know what, I'm going to watch with interest as the executives go in tomorrow, and as they come
see
out,
who comes out.
It's very much a reality show. I mean, if that's one thing that's for sure, and that's one of the things Kara Swisher says is, it's you know, it's basically let's see here.
You guys know Gary Busey, right?
Yeah, right.
Right.
Well, but she says, well, one would hope for a substantive discussion. It's pretty clear to me this is just going to be that media saturated geek reality show episode in which real billionaires walk the gauntlet of prostration at Trump Tower and get nothing for handing over their dignity so easily. I'm not sure I agree with that. I mean, I think they should.
Yeah, I don't agree with that either. She makes a lot of good points there, and also speaks of having talked to some people who are going to be in that room, but she can't speak, so they can't speak on the record to her. But one of the things that's kind of most important is that this is valuable just for the fact that the president-elect called for this meeting, and all these incredibly powerful leaders showed up and had this meeting with him. And so that helps to legitimize his transition. And I mean, it's nothing that any smart president-elect would not do. But if you're concerned, if your concern is that he's not going to take these kind of issues seriously, but he wants to have that really good picture of him at a table on one side of the table with everybody else on the other side of table, in chairs that are about 8 inches shorter than his, as opposed to that picture of a similar summit that President Obama had, where they're basically, hey, now that we've all finished skiing and snowboarding, let's have a big cup of coffee around the ski lodge here and have a good chat about the future of technology. I mean, as far as Apple's concerned, like I said, this is going to be really interesting. I really don't know what the agenda is going to be for Tim Cook inside that room, because it's going to be a tough room. I'm sorry to be saying things that are just so simple and naive, but you have the things that have been said by the president-elect over the past 2 years about issues that Apple has spoken quite loudly and quite passionately against. If not necessarily specifically against the comments that were made by the president-elect, it's hard to know. Well, great, now you're 4 feet away from this person, and they have paused for breath, and there seems to be an opening to respond to some of these things that have been said. What do you do? I honestly don't know what someone in that position can or should do. I honestly don't.
I think you go and listen. I mean, I think that makes sense.
Well,
for
no,
them
you,
to go and listen.
You definitely go.
And I'll be interested to see how forthright they are coming out. Because remember, the network news anchors refuse to say anything in public anyway.
And also with an anonymous source saying, "Oh, it was a bloodbath." That could have been orchestrated by, well, what does one side or the other want to be known? Well, we'll put out the story that this is what happened.
Right.
It's, as I said, it's,
well, and they, boy, and they have stuff to ask for. I mean, so, and he has stuff to ask for. Silicon Valley is absolutely the kind of the engine for a lot of the innovation and wealth building in this country. Plus, if one of the issues that you ran on is jobs, you got to go to Silicon Valley and say, how are we going to solve this growing problem as automation kicks more and more people out of jobs, as more and more jobs are offshored? You got to talk to these people. So
see that's the other difficulty. Outside of the room or in the voter place, it's all about, well, jobs being shipped out of this country to China and to Mexico. But really, it's by a factor of something like 8 more jobs are being
automation.
Exactly. It's automation, and it's completely within these people's interests. Tim Cook and someone in Tim Cook's line can say, look, if we could, we would have to spend 1,000 years selectively breeding a type of human that is capable of assembling an iPhone, let alone capable of assembling them. And we basically have to also offer jobs to 2.8% of the entire United States population to assemble them as fast as we need to ship them out. So we're talking about a type of human that does not exist in numbers that we cannot possibly employ. So if anything, we need to increase our level of automation so that we can continue to pay so many taxes to the United States of America. And that could be part of the discussion, saying, is there any way we can get you to pay more taxes in the United States? Even if that means that we can make it easier for you to bring some of your money back back from Ireland, back from wherever they've got it right now, and put it to better use inside the United States economy. It's a complicated thing. And we have to admit that, as unpalatable for me it is to think about businessmen, business people without public service experience being in high office, it is a very useful thing, given that most the effects of huge amounts of money being moved from one place to another, not necessarily something that's best understood by a politician. It could be understood very well, of course, by someone with a long list of experience in international business. So, as I said, I'm very interested to see what comes out of this.
And there, I'm sure, won't be enough time to cover all of the topics, because there's other issues as well besides net neutrality. There's privacy and security.
issue one.
Candidate Trump was very critical of Apple not helping the FBI in the San Bernardino case and said we should boycott Apple. Curious what is said there about us. And remember, Tim Cook, I think, made a very strong case about why you don't want back doors and how it impairs security for all of us.
Right.
And I wonder if Tim will, you know, get on that soapbox and say that, or if, I mean, it's just such a short meeting. There's so much to talk about. I can't imagine.
Well, it's also going to be interesting to hear who else was in the room sitting on his side of the table. His style of management seems to be not necessarily, basically, here's someone that I've often said in the past that I have seeing eye nerds who like explain the law to me. So when I have a legal, when I'm looking at a legal story, I don't pretend that I understand this. I'm going to find someone who knows it and can give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down. This seems to be his management style where I know this person, I trust this person, I think this person has the right experience for this. I'm going to let this person, this man or this woman, ask all the questions, listen to all the answers, ask all the counter questions, and then at the end of the day, I will ask thumbs up or thumbs down in this issue. If they tell me thumbs up, I will basically trust them to have given me good advice. So it'll be interesting to see who is going to be sitting on his right and on his left during this meeting, because otherwise it could be, you know.
I hope Elon goes.
I auto-downloaded the 10.2 update. I can't get the headphones.
Elon goes.
You just gave me a nightmare scenario where he's sitting there going, Larry, it feels like there's some animosity towards Tim. Ivanka, do you feel this animosity? Is it just me? Do you have something you want to say to Tim, Larry? I mean, is there something
Let's hope it's not that. They should get Georgia Dow in there to mediate.
Oh, God.
be interested to see if Elon goes. I think Elon is one of the people who, along with Tim, frankly, who might stand up and say, Mr. President, elect, there's something you need to hear. He is, of course, all over renewables. And
right, exactly.
Pretty clear the Trump administration is all over oil. So he might have something strong to say about
between friends. Who really cares, right?
Might have something to say. It'll be very interesting. I'll be watching with interest as they come out. I really hope that we can, you know, if they're all ashen faced and looking down, then we'll know.
Or they could be like rapidly giving orders with a very stern look on their faces to three underlings that cannot type fast enough. Okay, first of all,
yeah, right.
We're going to activate the plant in Machu Picchu.
Well, wouldn't it be interesting if Apple, in fact, announces, okay, we're going to start making iPhones in the United States? Wouldn't that be interesting? And then, what even more interesting, when they find out that it's mostly robots making it?
AC2 for rent. We're building a new headquarters in Vancouver.
Oh yeah. Apple has hit 20 million paid subscribers with its Apple Music. That is a big, big number. It's half now of Spotify. Yeah. I think people who are skeptical about Apple Music now are going to have to say, no, Apple's a player in this space. That's for sure.
It's sort of self-sorting. And, you know, Jim Dalrymple had a great thing on this, and where Apple is leaning really heavily onto things like rap music, and they're targeting people who they think would have a high level of affinity for the service. But, you know, people who like maybe classical music.
It's not great for classical. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or he likes heavy metal, and it's not great for him. But it's one of the, it's very similar to other arguments we've had about Apple lately, where they clearly know who they believe is their mass audience, and they're targeting them sometimes at the expense of people on the periphery. But it's been not successful.
It's a business. You know, I don't think it's their responsibility to broaden people's musical horizons. I mean, it'd be kind of nice, but...
From the six, Leo, from the six.
Yeah. Yeah. 70 exclusives this year, according to Eddie Q, including Drake's Views album. But Universal, according to CNBC, Universal Music Group has stepped back from offering exclusive deals to streaming services. And, of course, Kanye kind of wasn't too happy. Kanye's got his own thing, too happy, saying the battles between Apple and other streaming players is ruining the music business. Kanye also said he's running for president in 2020, so there's hope. Q said that exclusives will continue in the future. They work really well for everybody concerned, says Eddie Q. They're great for the label, they work for the artist, and they certainly work for Apple. 20 million. And the real key, I think, for Apple is to get, and I think they've reached it now, is to get enough critical mass that the record industry can't ignore them, that the record industry has to play.
Yes, which is what was critical to iTunes' success.
Yeah. New iTunes today, apparently, right?
Yeah, should we lose our minds over the macOS update? Do we have room for that on the schedule?
Let's lose our minds.
So angry. People are so angry.
What happened?
So a couple things. One is there's the same features you find in iOS iOS 10.2. So there's new emoji and all that kind of stuff. But Apple's been listening to the complaints about the battery life, especially on the new MacBook Pros. And they said they're sticking to their guns. They're saying that in their testing, they're finding that 10 hours is indeed the battery life under their test conditions, which is typically, you know, half brightness, no discrete graphics being used, just the embedded graphics, no heavy apps like Chrome being used. But they removed the time remaining indicator. Because they said that that people were misunderstanding it, or it wasn't doing a good job in communicating. Yeah.
How can you misunderstand? There's 3 hours left.
Well, so I actually was when I was with you, I was asking about this because I would open mine and it would say 14 hours left, and then it would say 4 hours left, and then it would say 12 hours left. It'd been doing that for months. So I started asking around, and people started telling me, yeah, the API is drunk. It just it loses track of how much time is left. And I mentioned it to a few friends who looked at it, and they go, oh, what is happening here? Because they, you know, people kind of forget about this stuff. It's sort of legacy built into Mac stuff, and apparently it's not that fixable because especially now the dynamics of load change so fast. I mean, there's two problems. One is that it wasn't keeping up with how radically quickly people would change the workloads on their machines. They'd go from having 30 Chrome tabs open, close Chrome, and then suddenly free up all these resources, and they'd go from 2 hours left to 4 hours left, and it wasn't providing a useful amount of information. But also it was dramatically wrong just on many occasions and misreporting actual battery life.
There is a tab in Resource Monitor now for energy.
Yes.
And that's got to be, I mean, if you're trying to figure out what's going on, there's a graph on here and everything. That's got to be the best place to go to figure that out.
Now it's more like iOS where you still have the battery shaming so you can see what's using excessive power. And it's not that those apps are bad. If you're doing, like if you're transcoding video, the video app should absolutely be in there. But if you're not doing anything and an app is there, that's a problem.
Yeah.
But it's like iOS now where there's just a percentage indicator for the battery life. So you can sort of read it when it goes from zero. Sorry, from 100 down.
I mean,
to
you can see, you can sort by energy impact. You can see a graph.
Yep.
If you want to know more about your battery life, that's the place. And of course, they also do tell you who the big battery users, the hogs are, and so forth, right there in the on the menu bar.
And you can get like iStat menu if you really want that stat. But I was asking some of the developers too, and they were saying they get reports back from the API saying, you know, 12 hours of battery life left when they know it's not. And they were considering just capping it or doing something to sort of normalize it. Yeah. So it's not ideal. But I think, you know, the timing of them removing it has caused some raised eyebrows.
Well, they did that. Remember when there were problems with signal on on the iPhone 4, the antenna attenuation? They just changed the scale on the bars.
You're barring it wrong.
Microsoft did that to avoid, or maybe it was Apple, the System 11 crash, remember in the old days? They just eliminated it. It's not that the crash didn't happen, it's just there's no more error message. So there's a long-standing tradition of that. Is what else in Sierra 10 point, whatever it is? 12
in iTunes, point. I think there's functionality that makes the video, I mean, there's a lot of bug fixes for people who had graphics issues on the 15-inch MacBook Pro. Things for the touch bar. There's just a whole round. The usual security fixes. You know, of course, it comes out.
Sounds like if you have the new MacBook Pro, even though you're going to lose that one little bit of functionality, it'd be worth doing this.
Yeah, and again, you can run a third-party utility if you really want it.
Well, and I think I think the most useful thing is to look at the resource monitor and look at that graph. That's really will give you an idea.
And if you see anything under use, like apps that are using a lot of power, you click on that, it'll pop you right into that in the battery usage meters.
So on mine, MacBook Pro, at least a 1.85 gigabyte download. And it is going to give you new iTunes 12.5.4, macOS 10.12.2, update 10.12.2. All right, I'm applying it as we speak. I was waiting to hear from you, Renee, before I did it.
Yeah, I was running the last beta, and it's been pretty good.
Right. By talking about,
I get about 8 hours though. I mean, like, I think that
you use Apple Safari, totally speaking, I bet, right?
I do use Safari. Slack is one of the biggest impacts on my battery life because Slack is very similar to Chrome in how it treats the resources. And I also do some, like, I use Photoshop and I use Final Cut. Final Cut is better than Premiere, but it's still on rendering video. But I think that, and I've made this complaint about the iPhone too, is that Apple is coming or at least that group at Apple is coming from this perspective of people who just the wireless usage to them was checking your email and looking at Safari. And now it's Snapchat and Pokemon Go and Facebook. And it's the same thing on the browser. The browser used to be going through the New York, like Apple's famously going through the New York Times, Apple.com, a couple websites. And now it's these incredibly JavaScript heavy websites that we're looking at and web apps and all these apps that we're running are non-trivial. And I think we sort of have to come into modern times with battery usage and either significantly improve battery life or significantly update the way that they give us these battery estimates to take into account the loads that we're putting on these machines.
I also think that the reason it varies so much is apps vary so much, you know, in how they use the battery. And so one person will have very different results from another. Go ahead, Annie.
Yeah, but I mean, Renee has a good point. I really think that it seems to me that one of the things that if Apple would invest more time into focusing on Safari as a Pandora's box of problems, then they could really have a lot of improvement on the Mac experience all the way across the board. Because just every single site that tries to pay its contributors for the things they contribute, they have to do that by adding more and more JavaScript for this, that, and the other. And the longer these things run, the more resources that they take, and the more the less time they give the CPU to go into more power friendly modes. And not only that, but it affects the stability. It affects the security. Just the web browser. if Steve Jobs felt so strongly against Flash that he was willing to forbid it against the entire iOS platform, he might today decide, guess what? You're never going to use a browser ever again because this is like the problems of Flash times 10.
Yeah.
Really, the difference oftentimes when I find myself that when I find that I'm not getting a battery life that I was I'm trying to get, or excuse me, I was hoping to get, quit the browser and then just use, like, for instance, the Google app that will just do, like, I'll do a search, it'll return like a web result and that'll be it, or I'll be reading stuff in Pocket and send things to the Pocket reader instead of reading it in the browser. And that's the difference between getting like 8 to 9 hours on my MacBook and getting like 10, 11, 12. Has screen brightness is a problem, of course, but really, if they can just really give Safari the ability to say, okay, you're just wasting the CPU, we're just going to shut you down for a little while now. We're going to do like Sylvester Stallone in that movie where we're going to freeze you into an acrylic hockey puck for 40, 50 years. But believe me, at the time where you need to tell your ad server that the user is now interested in yellow socks, we will unfreeze you and we will let you do rat on our customer, but then we'll put you back in the freezing hockey puck again.
Here's a little app that is probably going to be eating memory on my MacBook Pro sometime soon. Oh. Eric Olson has put Lemmings on.
So
the,
cute.
Finally, a real use. Is it the game, though, or just kind of they're just doing
it? Yeah. The, I think they're just screensavers.
Yeah.
for
I think that this is the best use I've seen of the OLED track.
Not better than Pac-Man?
There's Pac-Man too, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Now, can you play it, or is it glorious. Just, again, just graphics?
Well, I mean, you can't go up and down, so like the ghosts are going to get us.
The ghosts are going to get you.
this is like such a great example of if you just don't control and constrict what a developer can do, let them find out, just let them do the most awesome and stupid thing that's possible. So that's how you make things awesome. This is not going to affect my, it's not going to enhance my productivity, but for heaven's sake, if I'm going to give up like 1.3 hours of my battery life, I would happily do that if as I'm typing, you know, there's just like some sort of like a side scrolling like a Jet Li action movie happening in 8-bit graphics as I go. You know, that's what I would love to have. That's a good investment of a developer's time, a good investment in $4.99 of my money, and a good use of that OLED display on a brand new MacBook.
As you mentioned, Renee, that one of the fixes in 10.12.2 is some sort of GPU issue. Craig Federighi acknowledges this in an email, suggesting the problem has been solved. Thanks for the note. We believe we've addressed all these graphics issues in the latest beta of 10.12.2. Hope you enjoy your new MacBook Pro. It's a fantastic machine, Craig.
That's his signature on all his emails.
It's a fantastic machine. It is. So these are graphic distortions, but what about switching? Is there any there's no manual way to switch to save battery, right? I can't force it to use.
I don't know if there still are, but there were when Apple first started doing the embedded plus discrete graphics, there were utilities that would let you pick either or because things like the original Tweety, Lauren Brichter hard-coded it so that it would have silky smooth scrolling, but it meant that the GPU was always active.
Yeah, that's got to be a pretty good battery killer. And mentioning the problem with automation, we had mentioned this before, but 60,000 employees were killed at – not killed, fired. Not killed. No, they weren't killed. They were fired from Foxconn.
Culled could go either way.
Culled is a good one. And replaced by robots. And I think that that's – you're just going to see more of that, right? The question is how much does it cost to – use a robot, and how quickly do you, you know, get that money back by not having to have an employee? But as automation gets more ubiquitous, I think that's going to, and the labor statistics bear this out. That's going to be the problem.
Yeah, and there's no end in sight for the reasons that I talked about
can't
earlier.
Fix it.
But also things like businesses are being run on shorter and shorter lead times. And if you can get a factory of humans to build something just in time to fill an order that they just realized needed to be filled in the next 5 weeks, okay. I don't know if there are that many people who are actually looking for jobs that they can actually do that. That's really a Santa's workshop sort of problem. We're creating. It's basically the gravity and the atmosphere of the world is moving away from skilled labor and into automation, and it's. I don't know what the answer to that is.
I love Renee, your subtitle to your review of the Apple book is designed by Apple in California. The book, an epic tribute to Steve Jobs, the ultimate in Apple pretension, or both. And I'm taking it as probably a little bit of each, right? It's beautiful.
The way I look at it, Johnny Ive has won more Black Pencil Awards than most collective companies. And if the man, like, it's like that West Wing line where we don't ever strut, but then Bartlett says, the man deserves a drink. You can't deny him that. Yeah. If there's anybody who deserves a book, it's Johnny. So if he wants it, fine.
It really is. Yeah,
we're a better world for having it than not having it.
It's Johnny Ive's, what do they call that, chapbook? It's his portfolio. Beautiful.
It's something that meant a lot. Like his relationship with Steve Jobs and that design team meant an awful lot to him. And this sort of it takes all that and puts it in a present, like wraps up in a package that you could put on, as Andy said a few weeks ago, on any design school shelf or library.
And if you follow Renee's Instagram, you know he's got them all, including the Santa Claus Pikachu. There are new second generation Pokemon.
And if you click on the Santa Pikachu link at the top there, Leo.
Yeah.
There's one that says,
Santa
Pikachu. One. It'll, yeah.
How to catch him.
So you scroll down a little bit.
Oh, there's he's so the cute.
Santa, he's a mean little sucker. If you scroll down a little bit more, you'll see there's a Santa Rachu. You can evolve Santa Pikachu and get Santa Rachu.
Now, will he keep the hat after the holiday?
To be determined, but apparently yes, because that's whole part of the collectability of the game is having these limited edition things that you can look forward to.
Yeah, you want to get people to play now. If you have a... you don't know this either. But if you have a holiday Pikachu and you don't evolve it till after the holidays, will it evolve into a holiday Raichu?
As part, apparently, if like the hat is a binary state. So if you if you hatch a Pikachu from an egg that you got before the event started, it'll be a normal Pikachu. So like, apparently, there's a bit that gets flipped to say that this is a Pikachu with chapeau, and then it stays that way. What I don't know yet is. They said festive hats, and we're seeing Santa Claus because we're in the Western world.
Oh.
But apparently there might be other hats. Like, I don't know what the hat is in maybe China or in India.
Krampus hat. I want
Pokemon launches in India tomorrow, which is a big market for them. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's right. That's huge, isn't it?
Yeah, they're teaming up with Starbucks and Sprint in the U.S. and some big retailer in India for the launches.
I still can't get off that. I mean, as a person who spent the first 18 to 23 years of his life having pierogies and cold sausage 2 weeks after Christmas to celebrate Little Christmas for the Russian Orthodox people of my grandparents and their parents, I feel as though I should be able to have my Pikachu or my Raikou have a Santa hat 2 weeks after
Christmas. Yeah. Fill us in on this tradition of Little Christmas.
Well, my grandparents on my father's side of Anatko were Russian Orthodox. They were, and so every year we would celebrate Christmas, the regular, Western Christmas on the 25th. Russian Orthodox Christmas is a couple of weeks after on the calendar than the other Christmas. And so, but we wouldn't be like presents and keep the bunting up. And it would be, we would have like traditional food, like again, pierogies that my mom would make based on my dad's mother's recipe. Yum. And the tradition would basically be simple food, like the kind that our forebears would have. So we're talking about like cold preserved meats. Well, like cold sausage, cold ham, this, that, and the other. Something with some mushroom dish that for some reason my dad was the only one who was allowed to make. And he and I would make a special trip to special stores because you can only get, I don't know if they're psychosyllabic, but these special mushrooms that you can't really get in normal places.
And so even
to this day, I keep I don't make pierogies a couple weeks after the December 25th. But for me, the day that I take the Christmas decorations down is soon after Little Christmas.
Oh, that's kind of neat. I would like two Christmases.
Yes.
Well, the other cool thing is that if you like fall behind on like, gee, I had this really great idea for a Christmas card, but I didn't get my stuff together in time. You can say, this is for a Little Christmas. Of course, my people celebrate a couple of weeks later. It's not because I didn't get things done in time. It was because I'm my immigrant forebears.
We'll all be celebrating Little Christmas soon. It'll be great.
More than what
it is Christmas.
It'll be so much fun. We're going to take a break, come back with your picks of the week. But first, a word from Audible. We love Audible. We're all Audible fans here. Audiobooks from Audible are just the best way to spend time in the car, in the gym, doing the dishes, making the bed, walking the dog. Audible.com is the place to go to browse hundreds of thousands of audio. It's books mostly, but there's shows, there's radio shows, there's performances, there's speeches, there's all sorts of great stuff. I've become a big fan of the books, the biographies, and I think Audible knows. I'm looking at my Audible page, and here's the classic biography that came out a few years ago of Leonard Cohen, who passed away just a month ago. I'm Your Man. I got to be listening to that. I just got the Robbie Robertson's book about the band. And now I see there's a new one from Elvis Costello, read by Elvis Costello, not Presley, called Unfaithful Music and Disappearing Ink. I just love Audible. I always alternate fiction with nonfiction. So great. And by the way, great science fiction. Ooh, Neil Gaiman has a new one, The Graveyard Book. Oh, it's another full cast production. Yep. I love, what was it? What was it? American Gods? They did a full cast production of.
They did a whole That wasn't even a BBC series or a radio series. It was just we wanted to do a kick ass audible book. So audiobooks.
Derek Jacobi is in this. Wow, yeah. Some like actual.
Cat's eyes were accustomed to the dim moonlight.
So this is actually looks like a couple of years old, but I just discovered this.
Yeah,
a light was not that important after all. He had other skills. The man Jack sniffed the air. He ignored the
sense. Let me tell you something. If that doesn't give you chills and make you want to listen to that in the car, on your next commute, on the train, on the plane, oh, I love Audible. So here's the deal. We're going to get you your first book free. It could be this or any one of those other books. Almost all the books are one credit. There are a couple that are two credits if they're really long. But almost every book here you can get in your first month. Go to audible.com/MacBreak. You're going to be signing up for the gold account. That's a credit a month, i.e. pretty much a book a month. Oh, look, the great courses are here. I love the great courses. And this one looks really interesting. How Great Science Fiction Works, from Roosevelt University Professor Gary Wolf. How interesting. I love the great courses because I like to learn, too. Here's the official TED guide to public speaking. I'll have to get that before I give another speech. I'll desperately need that. Audible.com/MacBreak. The gold account is a credit a month. a book a month. Plus, you get the Daily Digest of the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times, so you can keep up on the world, too. Read to you by the best readers. These are, none of this is mechanically read or artificial. It's all great readers bringing these books to life. You can cancel any time in the first 30 days and pay nothing. The book will be yours forever, though. That's the nice thing. Whatever kind of book you like, Audible's got it. Let me tell you. And read in such a way that it comes to life for you. Audible.com/MacBreak. Get your first book free right now. Looks like they have a... this is nice. They like to honor the narrators. So they've taken their best readers and they've got their holiday memories. And it's all of... Look at that. 20 of their best readers doing those. That would be a good way to kind of find somebody whose voice you really like. I think that's free if you're an Audible member. Yep. Andy Inoko, your pick of the week.
I had a software pick ready to go, but it rather severely let me down yesterday.
Oh,
so
crud,
while I dig to see if that was my fault or just bad software, I've got kind of a weirder pick for you. We've often talked about like distraction-free word processors. These are slimmed-down word processors that let you focus just on the stuff that you're writing. We've also talked about utilities that will like shut down your internet for a number of hours so that you either have to wait it out or restart your Mac to get your internet back to also help you to focus. And there's also, you might have also seen this $500 computer called was called the Hemingwright, and then it was called the Freewright. This $500 e-ink display with like a big typewriter type keyboard and metal display, metal case. I've got something kind of better. I've been looking at like alternative things to write on for the past 3 or 4 months, and one of the most interesting things I came across were these little computers by Alpha Smart. These were a big business for the company, this Alpha Smart company. These were made for use in schools because where you can't really get a buy a computer for every single person in the class. And really all you want to do is teach them how to write and teach them how to write their reports and teach them how to type. And so these things that were built like they're built like things they're going to hand out to little kids. So they're built like tanks, even though they're pretty much just word processors. They might have a couple of extra little apps on them. But the great thing about them is that now they're not making them anymore. And school systems have moved on to like Chromebooks. And so every now and then a school system will dump like their 200 practically great, brand new looking Alpha Smart devices, and you can pick them up for like $10 or $15. I paid $10 for this one.
Wow.
And this one came in a case and with a charger and everything. It's in beautiful, brand new condition. And this is like the last version they made. The Neo 2s are really, really good word processors. This is the Dana that actually runs like Palm OS software and actually also has Wi-Fi. And it also has like little web apps and little email apps. So it's basically like an old-fashioned, like a Newton message pad, but with a really, really lovely to type on keyboard, beautiful screen. And the nice thing about both of these things is if you're talking about, like I was also thinking about devices like, which I thought to get this out beforehand, but here we go. Like if you want to be nostalgic, you can get something like the TRS-80 Model 100.
Oh,
and of course,
I'd love to get that.
And their apps are also quite lovely. And also, oh my God, what a great keyboard. But how are you going to get like the text out and into something useful?
Doesn't it have a modem on it?
it does have a modem with a DIN jack, but you have to get an acoustic coupler, I think. And to be fair, there are like a whole bunch of, it's the internet, it's the modern age, and there are people who are TRS-80 Model 100 portable computer enthusiasts who can sell you like an RS-232 little box that will let you put in like an SD card and basically print to a text file. That's a little bit too much for nostalgia. The cool thing about these things are that, again, they're designed to be as trouble-free as possible. So although there are some models that do have like SD card slots so that you can save it to an external device, with all of them, they also have a standard like USB port on the back of it. So all you have to do is plug it into your Mac, tap a button, and it will actually appear to the Mac as a typewriter, as a keyboard, and it will simply type out everything that you had put into this text file. So it will just simply open up a Word document or open up Google Docs, hook it up the cable, press this button, and everything that you wrote on this little device you paid $10 to $30 for will miraculously start being typed into this new document. So if you really are looking for – if you're curious about what you could do with a really – a true distraction-free writing device that's optimized towards letting you beat it up, having a really good keyboard, lasting just like an eternity on batteries, then – goodness, $10 is not a whole lot of money to spend. It's not a whole lot to risk. Even if you're spending $30 or $40, today I was looking at prices, and the cheapest ones are like $20 to $30. Most of them are $30 to $40. But it's a neat thing to have around. And if you are determined to write 1,000 words a day and you think that, well, what if I just have a specific device that I do nothing but write this novel on? It's an interesting thing to try out, and I actually like it a lot. I find myself writing not regularly, not every day or even every week on it, but there are times where I want to spend today basically writing something creatively that I'm not going to be able to sell anywhere, but I'm not going to have fun, so I'm going to take this to Starbucks with me, and it will be pretty damn cool.
I like it.
The Alpha Smart, either the Dana or the Neo 2 are great.
I like it. Rene Ritchie, your pick of the week.
All right, so I made a fool of myself a few weeks ago when I picked the Apple AirPods, presuming that they would actually launch on time. And so I want to sort of reclaim what was left of my dignity and make them an official pick now that they have actually started shipping. They're available for order. They've been pushed out, I think, 4 or 5 weeks already online. But you can take your chances at an Apple retail store, reseller, or select carrier partners next week. I've been using them going on 3 months now. I'm super, super happy with them. They're one of the best sets of headphones I've ever used. I am not an audiophile. I really don't notice sound quality. So if you are, you might want to stick with your golden ear cans. I can't speak to that, but they're crisp. They're clean. People think I'm talking on my iPhone when I'm talking on the AirPods. And to me, that's always a great indicator that it may not be wonderful sound, but it's clear sound. They pair really easily. Apple's integration is really slick. You don't have to worry about codes or Bluetooth or anything like that. Once you pair them with your iPhone, if you have an Apple Watch, that just gets synced along with all your other data. If you have iCloud, it'll take the AirPods, and make them available on your iPad and your Mac as well. Apple TV, you have to use them like regular Bluetooth, but that means that they actually work like regular Bluetooth. So you can pair them with an Apple TV the way you would any headset with a Windows phone, with an Android phone, with any of those things. And going wireless, it really is freeing. You don't notice the cord until you stop using it. It's almost like a cliche. And it doesn't pull on you. It doesn't pull out. You don't feel weird turning your head when you're looking around. And they are a little bit goofy. If you turn them upside down, they would look like antenna. But it's sort of the state of the technology for now. And for me, the trade-offs are more than worth it. So they're about equivalent to Apple's EarPods, and what you're paying for in the difference is that W1 chip and their ability to not have a cord to send data back and forth and to sync audio back and forth without the need of a hardwire connection. And in that sense, they work perfectly. I've never heard them out of sync. I've only had them drop twice, I think, and that's when I took my phone and moved it basically entirely around my body, put it in my pocket. I lost sound for about half a second, and then it came back. And otherwise, they've been super stable and solid. So if you're looking for a stocking stuffer or if you're looking for something to get someone in the new year, can't recommend the AirPods enough.
They're not waterproof, are they?
When I said that, I just managed to disconnect them as I was.
So you don't hear what I'm saying.
As I was opening and closing.
I think if you put your head underwater, you're going to lose both of them.
Well, I'm just wondering because he lost them in the snow. I'm wondering if that's hazardous. Can you hear me now, Renee?
Yeah. Apparently, when I started opening them, they repaired with my phone.
Yeah.
So I have to be careful about that.
Are they waterproof?
They are not officially waterproof. I have worn them to work out. I've worn them in the rain. I've had them in the snow. I did some snow angels, full confession. And they've been fine. I wouldn't suggest immersing them or swimming with them, of course. But for normal wear, they've been perfectly good.
This isn't specifically Macintosh related, but gosh, I love it. And I thought I'd share this with everybody. And thanks to my old friend Tim Pozar, who's a radio station engineer, and Dane Jasper of Sonic.net. Both of them posted this on Facebook. This is Radio Garden, radio.garden. And I don't know, did any of you as kids listen to shortwave radio or try to listen to distant stations? It's kind of like that. It's a globe. You could turn my audio up now, Karsten. I know I made some noise a little bit earlier. And as you move around, you're kind of tuning the dial, but tuning the dial using a map, a Google, I guess it's Google map of the world. And where you see green dots, that's where you can see radio stations. Click on the radio station, and you can listen to it. We're now listening to Reno's Best Rock from Sparks, Nevada. And then I can tune some more, and I don't know, where is this? Up in the mountains there. This is Ukiah, KY. You can also choose jingles, and you'll get some of the great classic 60s jingles from KHJ, Boss Radio. You can get history. I'm not sure what this is. Maybe historic. This is Soundbridge between Cologne, Germany, and San Francisco, established by Bill Fontana. Probably related to the people who designed this site. But I see, I'm the kind of person that likes to tune around. And now you can tune around the whole darn world and listen to radio stations that are broadcasting, streaming over the internet. I love this. I don't know. You could spend hours listening to Punjabi radio. That's, by the way, that's my old radio station that I used to work at, KLOK in San Jose. But, you know, here we go. We're in Costa Rica. Apparently they like American music in Costa Rica. Radio Canahuagua in Panama. Love this. It's radio.garden. And, yeah, if you want to listen to the BBC, you can do that. You just, of course, have to scroll on over to the UK. And there's quite a bit of BBC action.
Wow. I'm totally done with
this. Isn't this fun?
I remember there used to be a regular Mac desktop app that wasn't really as nice as this. I think Rogue Amoeba made it, maybe.
But yeah.
Just the ability to just spin the planet to, here is a place that's been in the news recently. I don't even want to listen to the news in this area. I just want to listen to the music that people in this area are listening to while they're going through a problem.
Some of it's quite obscure. And some of its big city stations. All of it is obviously on the internet. But nowadays, I would say every broadcast radio station has an internet presence. So pick a part of the world you want. Scroll on over to it and hear what they're saying in the Ukraine.
In Ukraine.
Ukraine. There's no the. Why did we ever say the Ukraine?
I don't know. I grew up the same way. And someone corrected me and pointed out to me why that was not just wrong, but also
insulting
to so many people.
It's offensive.
And it's like, it's like, oh, goodness. It's so easy to be ignorant. And you're like, oh, my goodness.
Yes. We've always said, Ukraine.
It was always taught, oh, and here is the Ukraine. Like, okay.
Yeah. So Ukraine, not the Ukraine.
It is Ukraine. Right.
Here's Radio Hobby from Poland. I just love it. Anyway, a lot of fun. Radio.garden, not particularly Macintosh. You could do it in any browser. It's just a browser app, but pretty darn cool.
2016 does not suck completely.
Not that's good. If that makes you feel better about the year, then my job here is done.
I just remember how difficult it was for me to try to tune in the PBS station in New Hampshire.
I did all that. Yes,
they had the rights to Doctor Who, and WGBH in Boston did not for some stupid reason.
Right. Right.
If I wanted to watch Doctor Who, I'd have to get the black and white TV that my sisters could have, pull it out, take it to this one room where I could kind of get at it, and if it was a clear night, and just be able to spin the globe and.
So fun.
Yeah,
I did a lot of that with radio. That's probably where I got my love for radio, is listening.
And you feel like you are traveling. You feel like moving from one place to another. It's amazing.
Yeah, and before I became a ham, I had shortwave radios. And then you can pick up Moscow. You can hear Radio Moscow or something. It's really interesting. Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. I'm glad you joined us on this cheerful edition, this happy-go-lucky edition of Mac Break Weekly. Andy Iannocco from the Chicago Sun Times. Always a pleasure. CWOB.com. Andy I on Flickr. Follow his great photos. He's just an amazing photographer.
Thank you.
Iannocco, I-H-N-A-C-C-O. I-H-K-N.
I-H-N-A. I have no idea how to pronounce this. Spell this guy's name. I-H, N as in Nancy, A-T as in Tom, K-O. As I've been saying over the phone to customer service people, pizza delivery people.
Laporte doesn't get you off the hook either, believe me. You got to spell it either way. Thanks very much to Renee Ritchie. R-A-X-A-N-T-A-G-U and A-X-A-N-T-A-G-U.
La même comme Léo. La même chose.
Même chose. Oui. C'est ça. Thank you so much, Renee, from iMore.com. Don't forget his great podcast, including Apple Talk, the newest podcast. There's so many great stuff. Debug, all at iMore.com.
Debug's on hiatus.
Oh. Well, you know what? You did basically...
because reasons.
You did everything. It was done. It was complete. You did everything you could do.
Thank you.
Don and
flawless
everybody
victory.
Just, victory.
I've heard a rumor that Andy has an accent somewhere in his name, too, just to be, you know, one of the crowd.
Do you, Andy?
No, it's the end of the show, so I can't tell you the whole story, but there's a... I did get my dad proud... Let's do a portmanteau of proud and angry because the Mac pronounces my name correctly, but it pronounces our family name the way that I pronounce it, having been raised raised in the Boston area. And my
Inatco.
I say Inatco. My dad raised in Western Pennsylvania, which is where my grandparents settled in a Czechoslovakian community, says Inatco.
Oh, so I'm calling you Andy Inatco from now on.
Hey, again, so long as you don't call me Buckingham,
I'm very happy. Hey, Inatco! But the Mac does it right or wrong, depending on
it does. No, it does it correctly.
Yeah. It says Inatco?
It says Inatco. I don't know if this was an approved gesture or not. But at some point years ago, someone who works in that department at Apple emailed me and asked me to send him like a recording of me saying my last name five times. So it's hardwired to say probably wow. Because it broke the computer every time. new email from Andy. So I had to tell Dad, well, on your side of the family, there's still about 31 people and there are 40 million Macs. So I'm sorry, Dad, but
we
win. by sheer voting, my pronunciation
Apple agrees with me.
Your dad won in the Electoral College, but you win the popular vote. And that's what really, really counts. Ladies and gentlemen, we are
too soon.
We are done for the day. What fun it has been. I hope you'll come back for another cheerful, happy-go-lucky episode of Mac Break Weekly every Tuesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1900 UTC. If you want to listen live, join us in the chat room, irc.twit.tv. Love having you in there, too. Kind of like, you know, a live studio audience, no matter where you are. You can also be here in studio if you'd want. All you have to do is email tickets at twit.tv. We'll put a chair out for you. If you can't be here in person on the chat room or on the stream, please, by all means, download an episode. You could even subscribe, twit.tv/MBW, or your favorite podcatcher. Just search for Mac Break Weekly. I'm sure you'll find it. Thanks for being here. But now I'm sorry to say it's time to get back to work because break time is over. Bye-bye.
It's a happy day.
Don't you do it, Leo. I don't want to end. I don't want to stop.
You see, when we're happy, the show is much better.
Happy day. We'll